Mark chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And the title for this sermon can simply be, Follow Me, as in Follow Christ, or Christ's Kingly Call. So Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. And he, Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, or the tax booth, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Before we begin, brethren, let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, our eyes and our hearts, asking for your grace and for your help. Lord, we did not come here to hear a man, but we came here to hear your voice through your word being preached. We pray, Father, that the preacher would disappear and that you would show up with grace and healing in your wings, and that you would mightily come down, rend the heavens, and teach us and help us by your word, comfort us. Lord, if we have flagged in our faith, if our knees have become weak, if we have begun to despair, if we have begun to, like Peter, look to the waves around us and turn our eyes away from the Lord Jesus Christ, please help us this day to return to you by your grace. Keep us, Father, from our own sins. Keep us from the devil. Keep us from the devil's deceptions. Keep us even from our own hearts and our own feelings. But help us, Father, to turn our gaze upon you. Lord, do not let us go away hungry, because we are knocking at your door, and we pray that you will feed us by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, brethren, by way of introduction and by way of review, you may have heard this, but the three laws of learning, you'll never forget it, are repetition, repetition, repetition. So I don't repeat to be monotonous, but simply to try to nail what we're going through to your minds. And repetition helps me, and I'm sure it'll help everyone here. So the book of Mark is much like a gospel tract. It's a gospel tract of sorts that tells us about the good tidings, that tells us about the gospel, that tells us about the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The book of Mark is also like a puzzle. As you read this book, this gospel tract, this book of Mark, a fuller picture of Jesus Christ is seen. Piece by piece, verse by verse, we learn the answer to the question, who is Jesus Christ? So far in the book of Mark, we have seen, or you can see if you read through it, that Jesus Christ is one whom of whom the scriptures prophesied. That Jesus Christ is the last Adam who was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. That Jesus Christ is one who preached with authority. That Jesus Christ is one who had authority and power to cast out demons, who had the power over sickness, who was willing and able to cleanse leprosy. One who could make the lame to walk. One who could perceive the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. One who has authority upon the earth to forgive sins. One, as we will, Lord willing, are about to see, one who calls us to immediate, abandoning, persevering, and absolute submission to his lordship. Brethren, these two verses in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, are verses that teach us about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he being Lord, we are to submit to him, and we are to follow him. And so this passage neatly breaks up, at least the way I broke it up, into two major headings. The first one is the nature of Christ's call to Levi. The nature of Christ's call to Levi. And the second point is the nature of Levi's response to Christ. First, the nature of Christ's call to Levi. The call of Christ to Levi was first a providential call. Christ's call to Levi happened on a certain day, during a certain journey of the Lord's, to a certain man in a certain way. On a certain day, we read in our passage, verses 13 through 14, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them," verse number 14, "and as he passed by." Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, as we have seen in the previous message, but he is not only God, fully God, truly God, but he is also truly man. He is God and he is man. And as a man, as the God-man living in this earth, in the flesh, he lived out his life, learning what it was to have the providence of God unfold before him. And in God's providence, that's why I call it a providential call to Levi. On a certain day, one day in one of Jesus' journeyings, in one of his walkings about, he comes to a certain man. And that certain man's name is Levi. Levi, perhaps, was a Jew who knew the law. And he was also, since he was a tax collector, he was most likely despised because tax collectors in those times, they were seen as traitors, we're told. Because if you think about it, a Jew working for the Romans, they were considered traitors. They were turncoats. They were Benedict Arnolds of the time. He may have also been a thief. We don't know that for sure. But the bad reputation that came along with being a tax collector was that sometimes tax collectors were told to collect a certain amount, and the tax collectors would then turn around and ask for a little bit more and pocket the difference. So he might have been a thief as well. Levi was also a man who was minding his own business that day, perhaps. And also, the Lord Jesus comes to him in a certain way. Not only was the call of Levi, the call of Christ to Levi, a providential call, it was also a clear call. It was clear who was being addressed. Notice the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 14. Two words, "follow me." It's an imperative, and the subject is understood. Jesus is saying to Levi, it's unmistakable. Levi didn't look around over his shoulder. He knew exactly who Jesus was talking to. And he said, "You, Levi, follow me." It was clear what he was to do because Jesus said, "Follow." It was also clear whom he was to follow because Jesus said, "Follow me." It was also clear for how long he was to follow. This might be stretching it a little bit, but it is in the text. Jesus' words, "follow me," are in the present tense. So perhaps if we, Pastor Dunn can correct me later, if it's incorrect, that the "follow me" in the present tense, we might be able to translate it this way. You follow me and never stop. It was also not only a providential call, not only was it a clear call, but it was also an absolute call. For absolutely all of Levi's person, because Jesus did say, "You follow me." It was for absolutely all of Levi's days because, again, he was to start following and to never stop. It was also absolutely for every part of Levi's life. It wasn't just "follow me" in one area of life, but in every area of life. This was a blanket imperative. It was, in essence, a call to Levi from the Lord Jesus Christ to switch jerseys, a call to enlist in a new army, a call to love a new Lord, a call to follow a new master, and a call to surrender to a new king. That is the nature of the call of Christ to Levi. Secondly, we have the nature of Levi's response to Christ. It was, first of all, an immediate response. The text tells us, having stood up, followed him. Levi, when he heard this man, and by the way, I would like to pause here and just say this. There might be some disagreement about exactly what happened here with Levi's call, or Christ's call to Levi. Some might take the position that this wasn't a one-day event where Jesus, out of the blue, came to this man named Levi and said, "Follow me." Some people take this to mean that this was a summary statement, that Levi might have had interactions or had heard of Jesus Christ over a period of time, and that the summary statement for Levi's life or how he became a disciple was that in time, this is the essence of what Jesus was saying to Levi, "Follow me." And the culmination of that process resulted in Levi following the Lord. I personally am not quite so convinced of that. And the reason why is because everything else in this passage seems to be immediate. Because the Bible does say that he rose up and followed him. He was sitting, specifically as mentioned, he was sitting at the toll booth and then he rose up and went away. I could be incorrect, but either way, the point is clear that the Lord Jesus did, in essence, say to this man, and actually did say to this man, to Levi, "Follow me," and the point is, Levi did begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. And so it was an immediate response. Levi stood up. Levi arose and followed Jesus. He made no excuses. He followed him. He gave no question. He followed him. He made no delay. He followed him. It was also not only an immediate response, but it was an abandoning response. If you'll remember in Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, we read these words, "And after these things, he," Jesus, "went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he," Levi, "left all, rose up, and followed him." And so that is why I've called this an abandoning response as well. Because Levi didn't just get up and leave, but he get up left and left all of the things behind. He left behind his job. He left behind his career. He left behind perhaps friends that he had at work. He left behind even a measure of comfort and security. Would you pack up your bags and leave your job on a dime if someone told you to follow them? He left behind his old life to follow Jesus. Not only was it an immediate response and an abandoning response, but also it was a persevering response. Levi started to follow that day, this passage tells us. He arose and followed him. He also continued to follow Jesus in the days ahead. He was one of the 12. Levi was one of the 12 disciples that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. So from this day forward, Levi followed the Lord. Also, Levi failed to follow for a time. Because if you'll remember, when the Lord Jesus was arrested and when the Lord Jesus was going through his trial and when the Lord Jesus was crucified, all of the disciples abandoned him. And so, brethren, don't be discouraged if you fail to follow at times, because there are better men than we who have also failed to follow. But thankfully, it was temporary. And if you right now have left off to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, come back. Return. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see as a proof that this was a persevering response is that Matthew, or Levi, he followed again. He began to follow again, and he began to follow faithfully, and he followed perseveringly till the day he died. We don't know this for sure, but some sources tell us that Levi might have died as a martyr. And if that is the case, it is true. He perseveringly followed the Lord even unto death. And even if he wasn't martyred and he died of natural causes, he still persevered to the end. So, brethren, those two are the major points. The nature of the call of Christ, the nature of Christ's call to Levi, the nature of Levi's response to Christ. And so, brethren, by way of application, everyone in this room here has this day heard Christ's providential call to follow him. I mentioned this in the first hour in one of my prayers, or actually in the sermon. We don't always know why we heard what we heard on a certain Sunday, on a certain Lord's Day. But we do know that if we have heard it, it is in God's providence. And just like Levi in God's providence heard the call of Jesus Christ to follow him, everyone in this room this day has heard those same words, follow him, follow Jesus Christ. And so, brethren, again, I don't know all of you. And even if I did, I'm not able to see the heart. And so I ask this question, are you unconverted? Are you still outside of Christ? Are you still not a Christian? Then in God's providence, you have heard the words and you have heard the call of Jesus. And Jesus says to you, poor sinner, follow me. Jesus says that to you. But you may be a Christian. And so to you, Christian, you who know the Lord, you who follow the Lamb, in God's providence to you, Christian, Jesus also says, follow me. Follow Jesus' words. Learn, love, live out what you read in the Bible. That's how you follow Jesus as a Christian. The call is in the present tense. It's not start following and stop. It's start following and never stop. Start following and follow till the day you die. And you can follow the Lord by following his words. And you follow his words by knowing God's word. Follow Jesus' ways. Study in the Bible the life of Jesus. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit to live like your Savior. Follow the Lord also with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Second application. Everyone here this day has heard Christ's clear call to follow him. He is speaking to us directly. He's speaking to me included. He is calling us. And so we must not hide. We must not dodge. We must not run away because he is right now clearly calling us. Follow me. Those are the words of the Lord, not my words. He calls us clearly and unmistakably to submit to his rule, to his authority, to his lordship over all that you are and over all that you have. I was listening to a Martin Lloyd-Jones sermon on a similar text of follow me. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about this call of Jesus, that it was a totalitarian call. That's a very interesting statement. You know, a totalitarian, when we hear that word, negative images crop up. And there's a reason why. Because they're usually, they're wicked men who are doing wicked things to have absolute rule over a people. But, you know, it's okay to have a blessed totalitarianism. And there is a sort of blessed totalitarianism. And that blessed totalitarianism is the totalitarianism of the Lord Jesus. He has all power. He has all might. He rules and he reigns over all. But the big difference is that he is righteous, that he is just, that he is God, that he is holy, and that he never sins. And so this is a blessed totalitarianism. And brethren, when we read these words of the Lord Jesus, follow me, he's not, you know, when we hear those words, follow me, it's not, hey, get in your car and follow me to the grocery store. It's not that type of follow. It's a different type of follow. It's a big type of follow. It's the type of follow, like I was saying earlier, where you're switching jerseys. Imagine switching jerseys in a Red Sox-Yankees game in front of everyone. That would be a big mistake. Well, the Lord Jesus is calling us to follow him. He calls us, and if we are Christians, we have heard that call, and we have obeyed that call by God's grace. But continue to keep on that jersey. Don't turn back. Don't turn away. and submit yourself to the totalitarian call of the Lord Jesus. He clearly calls you to follow Him and no one else. He doesn't say, follow me and your feelings. He doesn't say, follow me and your friends. He doesn't say, follow me and your fears. He doesn't even say, follow me and your family or the world or anything else. Jesus says, follow me. And only Jesus we are to follow. He clearly calls us to persevering, I've coined a new word, fellowship. And we are to follow Him forever. Thirdly, not only has everyone here heard the providential call of the Lord Jesus, and not only have we heard the clear call of the Lord Jesus, but we have this day, all of us, heard the absolute call of Christ for us to follow Him. It is an absolute call. When you read these verses, or when you read this verse, I should say, do you feel the pressure? Can you put yourself in the sandals, not the shoes, but the sandals of Levi? And could you imagine the type of pressure these words would have had upon Levi? I mean, if you were there, wouldn't you feel pressured? Some man comes up to you, and the way he speaks, the way he looks, the way he acts, everything commands majesty. Martin Lloyd-Jones also highlighted one thing where it was something about the tone of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I see that in the text? Maybe not, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was accurate. Something of the tone of the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He preached, people didn't yawn and say, that was a nice talk. No, they said, this man speaks with authority and not as the scribes. We've never heard anyone like this before. And so this man, Jesus Christ, who comes to Levi and says, follow me. He says it with authority. He says it like a king, because he is a king. So do you feel the pressure, brethren? Jesus Christ is calling me and is calling all of us this morning to follow Him, to follow all that He is with all that we are, to hold nothing back. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. And Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Brethren, are you tempted to stop following the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it get difficult? Does it get hard? And do you get tempted to stop? Don't stop. Things are going to get hard. The road is going to be bumpy, and maybe even in America, persecution will break out. We don't know. We will be tempted more and more to stop following the Lord. Our hearts, our temptations, the devil, the wicked, as their chorus rises and tells us to stop following Christ, we need the grace of God to be deaf to the cries telling us to stop following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must persevere by the Lord's grace. If you are tempted to stop following the Lord, don't stop. Also, brethren, are you holding anything back? The Lord maybe has your home life, but does He have your wallet, perhaps? Maybe you can give some part of your life to Jesus, but there's another part you're holding back from the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, follow me. All of you, follow all of Him. Don't hold anything back from the Lord. Remember again that it is a totalitarian call, but He is the only totalitarian Lord of Lords who is lovely, who is kind, who is gracious, who is loving, who is merciful. So follow this lovely Lord Jesus. And so, brethren, to hopefully make this a bit more practical, to bring it down to our own lives. How shall we follow Jesus? Okay, we have heard today that we're to follow Jesus, but how do we do that? There's no physical presence where we can start following him in our daily lives. But we can follow him like this. Are you neglecting to read God's word? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you think, I don't need to read the Bible anymore. I have a lot of it in my memory. Are you neglecting to read God's word? To you, Jesus says, follow me by, as we read in Psalm chapter 1, meditating in God's law day and night. Because remember, the words of Jesus are not just the ones in red. The words of Jesus are from cover to cover of this book. Whatever you find in this book, whatever you find in the Bible, those are the words of Jesus to you. And underneath and over all of the scriptures are these words, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you read in the scriptures. So are you neglecting to read his word? Follow him by meditating in God's law day and night. Are you neglecting to pray? To you, Jesus says, follow me by praying without ceasing and praying without fainting. Remember the disciples, how they turned to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw in the Lord a pattern, a lifestyle of prayer. And so if you want to follow the Lord, then follow him in his praying. Are you not loving your spouse? If you're married here today, wives, are you loving your husbands? Husbands, are you loving your wives? If you're not, then to you, Jesus says, follow me by husbands loving your wives and by wives submitting yourselves to your husbands. Are you indulging sin? To you, Jesus says, follow me by mortifying your members which are upon the earth. To you, Jesus says, flee youthful lusts. To you, Jesus says, to kill your sin before it kills you. Do you have any idols? Are you secretly idolizing and worshiping things or people or experiences? To you, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Follow Jesus by seeking first the kingdom of God. And so, brethren, by way of conclusion, this was a little bit of a shorter message. May the Lord, by his word and by his grace, by his Holy Spirit, help us, his people, to like Levi, follow immediately, follow with abandon, follow faithfully till the day we die. Brethren, may the Lord really help us that when we hear his call, we may have quick feet for the Lord, that we don't be sluggish, that we don't drag our feet in obedience, but that we may be quick and swift on our toes to follow Jesus immediately, whatever he tells us to do. When he tells us to repent, that we repent fast. That when he tells us to believe, we believe fast. When he tells us to not fear, that we stop fearing fast. And may the Lord also help us to follow the Lord with abandon. What has being a Christian cost you? It's cost many people life and livelihood and comfort. What have we lost because we're Christians? Follow with abandon. You know, we ought to be like a man who is cast into the ocean with a heavy weighted belt around his waist. And when he is cast into that ocean, he doesn't just go with the flow, because that flow is going to be going straight down. That man does everything in his power to rip that belt off of him so that his life isn't taken by the waves. Brethren, we need to be like that. We have to have a measure of holy desperation, a measure of abandon, that when the Lord calls us to do something, we do everything to get that thing off of us, to abandon whatever it is that is keeping us from following the Lord, to abandon everything, to leave everything behind, like a wild man, That if the world looks at us, they'll say, that man is crazy. Look what he gave up. We're not really giving anything up. We're gaining because we're having the Lord, and the Lord is better than everything. Also, brethren, to follow faithfully till the day we die. Anyone can pray a prayer. Anyone can say they're a Christian. But to actually be in the trenches, to know what it's like to have hand-to-hand combat with sin, to know what it's like to fall and to falter and to fail miserably, and to come face-to-face often with your own depravity, and to see how much of a sinner you are. May the Lord help us to follow faithfully till the day we die. Brethren, there's only a few more days until we see our Lord, until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Just a few more bad nights in a bad hotel. And we'll see the Lord, and it'll be worth it all. And until that day, just keep following the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us. So often we like to preserve our own skins, our own reputations, our own comforts, so that we may not follow you. But Lord, please help us to see, to feel the pressure of your call that we are to follow you. You command us to follow you. You deserve that we follow you. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. Lord, thank you that we have begun to follow you, because the very fact that we are following you is proof that you have called us out from this dark world, that you have called us out of our deadness, that you have called us out of our spiritual death and sin, and you have made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are alive, we follow. And so we thank you, Father, that since we are following, it is proof that you are working in us and that you are helping us and that you have given us the grace to follow. But also, not only, Lord, are we thankful for the grace that has made us to begin following, we cry out and we yearn for that grace that helps us to continue to follow, even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it's costly. Help us to follow and to be faithful. Lord, help us, remembering the words of John Calvin, who in his later years was so afraid and said, Lord, help me not to make shipwreck so close to the harbor. Lord, help us that we have made it this far by your grace. May your grace bring us all the way home and help us to follow you till the very end, till our last breath. And Lord, we look forward, we anticipate, we are joyful about the prospect of one day following you without ever tripping again, without ever faltering or falling again, when we in eternity will be following the Lamb forever. We pray that you would fix these words to our hearts, that you would help us to remember them in all of our lives, in all of our days, in all of our circumstances, to keep following you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.